Dr. Murray Strauss has studied the use of spanking and corporal punishment with children for decades. As founder and co-director of the Family Research Laboratory at the University of New Hampshire and as a professor of sociology, he compares the research on spanking to studies on cigarettes. People use it because it may seem right at the time, but that's because they can't see the long-term dangers. Dr. Strauss is one of the authors of the new book, The Primordial Violence, Spanking Children, Psychological Development, Violence, and Crime. He joins me now with more. Welcome to All Things Considered.
Thank you.
How long-term are we talking when it comes to long-term effects? Are the effects of spanking, say, something you can see in a person as an adult?
Yes, you can see it clearly. So you have a child who's depressed. Well, the last thing people would think of is because the child was spanked as a kid. But the evidence from 8 different studies is that spanking is associated with an increased probability of depression. And that's even after controlling for initial problems that might have led the parents to spank. Same thing with crime. It's somewhat ironic because, as one father told me vehemently about why he spanks, he said, well, I want to make sure he doesn't go to the electric chair. But long-term, it increases the probability of first as a child antisocial behavior and then as an adult committing crimes.
Another issue to consider here, too, is that parents who are spanking or using corporal punishment are often doing so with young children, infants, toddlers, preschoolers. And that's the time where the brain is developing at a pace that is faster than at any other time in our lives. So what effects do spanking and corporal punishment have on that brain development in very young children?
Yeah. We have evidence showing this is the worst time. I mean, it's always a worst time to hit a kid at any age. But if you're going to do this unwise and cruel thing, better to do it when the child is older. Best not at all. There's several cultural myths. One of them is that spanking works when other things don't. What does the empirical research show when they're compared? It shows that with a 2-year-old, the repeating the misbehavior rate when 2-year-olds are corrected is about 50% within the next hour or two and close to 100% within the same day. The problem is those kids do learn, but it takes many repetitions over and over again. And the key thing is that that applies when the parents spanked to correct misbehavior to the same extent as it applies if they just said no-no. You say no-no, the child stops then, and then 15 minutes later does it again. You think that's because no-no is ineffective. If you spank 15 minutes later, the child's going to do it again. People don't come to the conclusion that, well, maybe spanking isn't that effective. The child learns that when someone else is engaging in some serious misbehavior and, quote, won't listen to reason, it's okay to hit them. It gets played out later in life, in particular for partner assault. Study after study has found that the more spanking as a child, the greater the probability of hitting a partner when the child is an adult and dating or married. It's when the partner is, as they perceive it, misbehaving.
We often think of spanking as a minor thing, whereas you're saying that if we're seeing these events later in life, then maybe we should rethink that. But then also the idea that not spanking a kid can equate to either not teaching them or letting them run wild, I've even read.
I have a niece who, as a matter of policy, didn't spank. But a year or two later, we had a conversation, and it turned out she'd started on occasion to spank. And I said, well, how come you changed your mind? She said, well, my friends and neighbors kept telling me this kid's going to grow up running wild. She finally decided, well, maybe that's the best thing to do, even though her son was quite well behaved, like any other kid. So there is social pressure to conform to the norm. The cultural norm is if a child misbehaves and especially persists in the misbehavior, it's necessary to spank. The most recent, 2 years ago, national survey on this, do you agree or disagree that it's sometimes necessary to spank a child? Actually, it was give a child a good hard spanking was the exact word of, you know, the question. 72% agreed. This is truly a part of American culture.
And another example of that would be our code of laws. I mean, U.S. states have laws that prohibit child abuse, but they often state, and this is true here in New Hampshire, that parents and guardians of children are justified in using force to, and they spell this out, to prevent or punish misconduct.
Yep. All the states passed laws in the late 60s, mostly in the early 70s. In order to get them through state legislatures, they had to include a clause in the child abuse statute which says nothing in this law should be taken as saying parents can't spank kids. Now, ironically, the child abuse legislation further strengthened the immunity of parents from assault when they hit kids.
Do you worry, though, that there can be a popular perception that the parent who is, say, occasionally spanking a child could be then seen as someone who's not very different from someone who is whacking their child, and I mean, I'm using the term here, highly abusively, then that creates a scenario where every form of physical coercion against a child is essentially treated equally.
Yeah, that's an important issue, because what the research also shows is that the harmful effects are what is technically called a dose response. That is, the harmful effects are in proportion to the size of the dose of spanking. An occasional spank has a low probability of causing harm. Doesn't mean it has zero probability. A high dose, the amount of spanking of toddlers, is typically two or three times a week. I regard as a substantial dose and is associated with a substantial increase in the probability of these harmful long-term effects. We do need to differentiate that, but I don't think we should say, well, an occasional spank is okay, because though the effect is less probable, it's still there. But the main thing is, let parents know that this is not, as they think, for the kids' own benefit. It's harmful to their kids. It's so deeply ingrained that even when people are against it, they believe it's necessary and they do it.
Do you see that that might change someday?
I think that's almost certain to happen. For example, when I was a kid, people thought that spanking was morally good for kids, not just to correct misbehavior, but it built character. Now it's that it's sometimes necessary. And most people and most child psychologists say it should be avoided, but they don't say you should never do it. If you're the parent of a two-year-old, it only takes you a day or two to falsely conclude that you can't avoid it, because the recidivism rate of crimes committed by a two-year-old is just about 100%. We need to change that rule from avoid it if you can to never, never, under any circumstances, hit a child to correct misbehavior. We also have to be careful that people don't misinterpret that to mean don't try and correct misbehavior. That's essential. Children depend on it, but not by hitting.
Dr. Murray Strauss, thank you so much for your time today.
You're welcome.